Well, our guest now is working on a project he hopes will revolutionise sea travel. Max Olsen is the founder and chief executive of Sea Change, a company that wants to build hydrofoil car and passenger ferries that would deliver zero emission transit. Earlier this year, the company successfully trialled a prototype. You can see a video of that on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/9toNoon. Next, the plan is to scale it up and take it across Cook Strait. Max is in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio. Kia ora, Max. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Straight away, I'm thinking of those wonderful machines I was watching during the America's Cup. You're not going to take me across Cook Strait like that, are you?
No, it will be somewhat less exciting than that. But yeah, you're talking about the same technology, except instead of, a few tonnes, the boat weighs 100 tonnes, but travels at quite similar speeds to those boats.
So people can have a look at the prototype on the video. How much will the prototype reflect what you're building? Is this literally like it's like the little mini car compared to what will ultimately be the vehicle?
Yeah, it's a bit of an engineering prototype, so it more serves to help us develop and test our control systems and foil layouts. From the hull down, or from the body of the craft down, it'll be pretty much identical to what's on the full scale boat.
So just describe it as a boat, the catamaran most of us are familiar with, but just explain the rest of what this new ferry would be composed of.
Yeah, right. So it's a car ferry. The first version will have six cars on board. So you'll drive on down a normal ramp, like you might be familiar with if you've taken a car ferry before. There'll be two rows of cars, so you'll go down the first lane. And there'll be three cars in a line, and there'll be three cars in a line next to you. You'll jump on board. There's a port passenger cabin. There's a starboard passenger cabin. You'll be assigned to one of those, and it'll take you across, 100-kilometer journey, like the Cook Strait, in just under 2 hours.
So tell me a little bit more about the technology and the foils. What's the link between the sort of amazing tech we've seen introduced in America's Cup the last couple of events and what you're now planning to apply to a passenger ferry?
Yeah, right. Hydrofoiling is actually an incredibly old technology. Since the early sort of 1900s, Alexander Graham Bell actually held the water speed record on a hydrofoil in like 1908. We're talking like something that's been around a very long time. It made a big surge in the 70s and 80s with hydrofoils, but very inefficient craft due to materials and propulsion constraints. And then what we're seeing right now is the resurgence of the hydrofoil that sort of got kicked off by the America's Cup back in 2012. So we're sort of 10 years into this cycle, and improvements in carbon fibre, your composite materials can make lighter boats, more efficient foils, and that's made it possible to electrify these boats. And so instead of using combustion engines, using high power electric motors and lithium batteries to power quite large craft and cover substantial differences in comfort and at speed.
So just tell me a little bit more about the electrics and what is involved, size of battery, because if you've got ambitions ultimately to be crossing Cook Strait, that's a fair trip. It can take a bit of grunt depending on the weather. So what's the capacity that's possible on your prototype, and then what's the capacity that might be possible on a full-scale boat, passenger boat?
Right, yeah, so the prototype that is on the website has about a half an hour range on it, so that sort of covers 30 kilometers. On our first full scale boat sort of launching in 2023, that'll have a sort of 110-kilometer range quite comfortably. And then with improvements in the efficiency of our boats, improvements in the efficiency of batteries and propulsion and inverters, that'll push out to sort of 200 kilometers over the next sort of 3 to 4 years.
What stage do you believe you're at? Prototype is exciting, but just tell me how we've got this far and how far through, a realistic bring-to-market project you feel you are.
Yeah, so we're at the end of our prototyping. So we're absolutely 100% working on a full-scale operational craft right now. So in the last few months, we've brought on a bunch of incredible engineers from Team New Zealand, from SailGP, from Oracle Racing, and now the race is on to start cutting molds. So by the end of the year, we'll be producing boat one for its first route.
What were the test sails like then?
Test sailings. Oh, wonderful, yeah. Prototype worked dead on as expected. We learn a lot, and it's also a continuing platform. So if we have any questions that we have throughout the design process on the full-scale boat, we can return to that prototype and inform some of our decision-making on that prototype. So we sort of have this mix of doing really in-depth simulation work that tells us a lot about how the boat performs, but if there's stuff that we're not sure the simulation is covering or we're unsure about, we can refer back to the prototype, put it back on the water, test something out, and then update the simulation so that it reflects reality.
Production one, then, to actually bring to market, would be able to take how many cars, how many passengers, and go how far?
So it's 6 cars, 30 passengers, and we'll travel 100 kilometres on a single charge, nominal range.
And where would you see that being put to use?
We'd love to run it across the Cook Strait for boat one. I think that'd be the ultimate gift to New Zealand if we could pull that together.
I'm not sure that's going to be a financially viable business longer term, though. Like, if you were seriously great to launch it with such a project, but seriously, where do you see it fitting in the market and operating at this size?
Yeah, I think you're you're underestimating the size of the Cook Strait route. It's actually, you know, worth over $100 million a year.
Yeah, but how much would you charge? How much would you need to charge on 6 cars and 30 passengers?
Yeah,
to break even.
So it's a small boat. We'd charge about 50% more than you'd currently pay.
Yeah. How long to get across?
Just under 2 hours, sort of round trip, check in to roll off.
Well, that's way faster than the. It would be at least 50% faster than the total journey.
Yeah, it's about four hours 45 check in to roll off right now.
And if people paid that premium with just 6 cars and 30 passengers, you'd be at break even or better.
Oh, more than break even.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what's important to know is that the small scale of the boat is not a hindrance. It's an advantage. Boats are big because they need to be efficient. Well, the boats are big currently because they need to be efficient and they need to be stable. And so people understand that hydrofoils make a boat fast and they make a boat efficient. But what they also do is allow a very small boat to take on weather conditions that a boat of that size otherwise could not. So we're using a 25-metre boat and making it do the job of a 100-metre boat. So we run many small boats. And because the boat is running, 4 metres above the water, it cuts through the waves, reduces seasickness, and makes the boat super efficient.
Would you need a fleet of them, though? Again, sorry to sound like the accountant.
No, that's okay.
Would you need a fleet of them in order to have a viable business? Yeah.
The idea is that you run a fleet. Yeah, absolutely. So across the Cook Strait, we could probably support 4 boats. And that means that you've got super regular sailings. You've got lots of flexibility in how you deploy boats throughout the year. You might move them to different jurisdictions. So instead of just having the sort of one boat fixed to a route that's got to run once a day, you go into this quite nice distributed fleet of boats that you can repurpose and get really good utilization out of your fleet.
It's a little bit almost more like a taxi service, a pretty flash taxi service, isn't it? But that's a little bit more like it.
It's moving towards that, yes.
The fast ferry experience, we've already had one texter in, and you'll hear many more from the Marlborough Sounds, wanting to know about the wake impacts.
Yes, yeah, so that's the wonderful thing about hydrofoils is they produce next to no wake. We're doing a lot of modelling around that to confirm.
Where does it distribute? Does it come out essentially straight, but it cuts through, and that limits lateral movement? What happens to the displaced water?
Well, you just imagine that you've got a lot less volume of the boat is in the water. So a traditional, those fast ferries that maybe used to run across the Cook Strait, they displace their entire weight in water, and that water's got to go somewhere. Whereas we don't. We're displacing a tiny fraction of our weight in water, and then there's a lift force which is actually holding the boat out. So really, you just get a small sort of wash as the water reforms behind the foils, but substantially less than.
It makes sense, but I'm thinking in one or two of the crossings I've had on Cook Strait, and some of the wave heights, I'm sure the America's Cup sailors would be happy on it. I'm not sure how happy I would be on it. What would be the experience in fairly significant seas and swells?
Yeah, right. So you imagine the foils are about 5 metres beneath the boat. And then so the boat is riding about 4 metres above the surface of the water. So that allows us to absorb quite frankly, huge wave. And so currently our boats are designed so about 10%, in the worst conditions, about 10% of the passengers on board might get seasick. On our boats, that's going to be about 1%. So it's actually a far more comfortable ride on a hydrofoil than you'd have on a traditional ferry. A
couple more quickies. Why aren't you zipping across, you know, the Hauraki Gulf on this? I can think of a few cyclists who'd say, just give us lots of bike spaces and when we're yours.
Absolutely. Look, it really starts to make economic sense when those journeys get a bit longer. There are lots of people out there tackling these sort of harbour routes.
You can charge more, basically.
You can charge a bit more, and the turnaround time doesn't factor in quite so heavily.
And secondly, who are your what are your financial? What's your financial position to scale up and launch? Have you got some backers, or are you got the banks on board?
We have some awesome backers. No banks yet. So we're a privately funded company, venture capital. We've got some awesome investors, Icehouse Ventures, K1W1, Blackbird Ventures, as well as some awesome angel investors who have founded billion-dollar companies of their own and are now supporting this.
And the date for launch?
Early 2023. I'm looking at autumn 2023.
Right and now. Looking to export ultimately?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Max Olson is Chief Executive of SeaChange.